Now we come to prepare for the gospel. The gospel is John 21, verses 1 to 19, the first part, and almost to the end of the chapter. A very mysterious chapter. And as you'll see, and as you probably recall, the text begins like this. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is in the north. He revealed himself in this way. So the disciples have made their way back home. They're back around the sea where they were at the beginning, I guess waiting to see what the Lord was going to do next. They'd already met him down in Jerusalem, in the upper room. And now they've gone back up north, together with Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, which means twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, James and John, and two others of his disciples. He doesn't name them. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." It's his occupation. They're waiting for Jesus. They don't know what to do next. And so they said to him, "We'll come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. You see, fishing over there in the old days, and in some cases even now, there'd be a big net off the stern of the boat. And they'd drop it, and then they would row in increasingly dense circles. And the net would get tighter and tighter, and the fish would be trapped in it. And then they'd bring that ashore, and then pull the net ashore, and take out the fish. Keep the good ones, throw the little ones back in if they weren't dead, and the useless ones, just give them for compost or something. Okay. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night, and that fishing is done by night, probably because the torch on the boat attracts the fish. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children," and they always translate that as children, which is okay, I guess. "Paideia," boys, "have you caught anything?" And they said, "No." That's all they said, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat," over the starboard side, okay, "and you'll find something." So they cast it. Now, there must have been some attraction, or maybe just desperation. They worked all night and got nothing. If this stranger says, "Oh, we'll give it another try." Anyhow, and they were not able to pull it in, the net, because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." He picked it up. He saw who it was. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. It must have been close to shore. The other disciples came in the boat, but they went out far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus had cooked them their breakfast. The eternal Son of God. Even after his resurrection, never renounces his humanity. And that's why he talks. He talks to everybody, but sometimes the saints have a real dialogue going. I remember the story about St. Teresa of Avila. She was traveling somewhere, and she was in a donkey cart in the back, and they went through a little book, and the wheel came off the cart, and plunk, she went right into the brook. And so she's all wet, and she said, you know, she wasn't feeling good anyway. And our Lord stood there, and he said, well, that's the way I treat my friends. She said, well, then it's no wonder that you don't have, that you have so few of them. You know, who wants to get treated like this? She did, because she loved him so much. So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. I am not going to get into all the possibilities of what those words, 153, what they mean. There are as many guesses as there are commentators. Means there were 153 fish, but what it stands for, why stop and tell us that? What are we supposed to learn from that? Someday, some saint will come along and give an explanation that is so compelling that everybody will say, that's what it means. But nobody's come along that compelling yet. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they realized that it was the Lord, O Kyrios, son. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. Now, this was now the third time that Jesus revealed to his disciples, was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. And now we come to this very interesting dialogue. When they had finished breakfast, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now we're not told, I think most of us envision this as a private conversation. But maybe he wasn't, they weren't so far from everybody else that they couldn't have followed this. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. That's the qualification for being Pope. And he said, feed my lambs. Okay, you are going to be the shepherd of my lamb. All who are joined to me by faith and the Eucharist and the Holy Spirit, they're my lambs. You are responsible. Now, we have many other places, well, several other places in the New Testament, where this role of Peter is accented. Who do people say I am? Ah, you're the Messiah. And I say, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And then in Luke, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith fail not, and that once being strengthened, you can confirm your brothers. You see this role. Pope John Paul II, in his letter on ecumenism, speaks beautifully about this role of Peter. My main job, he says, is to guarantee unity in the church. And so I invite anybody, all the leaders of all the other churches, to write to me and tell me how you think I should be doing this ministry. Isn't that beautiful? And I remember one, his name just slipped my mind, French Orthodox. It'll come, I hope, by the time I finish the story. Anyhow, when he wrote, he said, first opening line, Dear Holy Father, Olivier Clément, you see, it's love, humility, that's what brings unity. And so feed my lambs. He said to Simon Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon Peter answered him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. Then Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Now you see, that gave Peter a chance to make up for the three denials. What's the first qualification to be Pope? Love Jesus. No 12 languages, know how to manage an unruly curia, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's go good. But the heart of your ministry, Peter, is to love Jesus so much that you can hear from him and do what he tells you to do as his vicar on earth. That's what it's for. And so, now, Jesus predicts his future. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Death, glorifying God. That's witness, don't you see? I stand by what I said. Jesus Christ, dead and risen, is the eternal Son of the eternal God, and I stand by it, you see? And so, my death will glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, follow me. Now that's as far as the church wants us to meditate at Mass, is the role of Peter. The story goes on, because there's always Peter and this other disciple all the way through John, all the Gospel of John. Everybody guesses it's John, which must be. Peter, impulsive kind of fellow, but what about him? I mean, you know, we're close. We work together. What about him? Jesus says, Peter, if I want him to just stand here till I come back, what's it to you? I told you what to do. Follow me. And so you know the rest of that. So the rumor went around that that disciple wasn't going to die until the Lord came back. So they expected the Lord back in a couple of years, max. And the text, the part we don't have in for our reading today, said the author says, he didn't say he wasn't going to die. He just said, if I want him to stay here until I come, what is that to you? You know what you're supposed to do. And of course, my friends, we can all take that part of the advice. Are you a married man with children? You know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to feed my lambs, feed my sheep, look after your family. If you're a priest, you're supposed to do that too. If you're a mom, my goodness, look at the lambs and sheep you're supposed to take care of. You see, if you're a professor, think of that. In other words, you know what you're supposed to do, and I want you to be doing it. And that way, you will grow in union with me. And so, when you die, I can say to you, enter into the joy of your Lord. Just come. You're ready. You know, when things were tough, you didn't abandon me, and you didn't quit, and you kept on trying to love even those who made life difficult for you. So, come. Come now. And be one with me for all eternity. Amen.